Good morning. Well, I was hoping for a few more CSW students because I begin this morning in the Odyssey. So there's like two. All right. Well, in the long poem known as the Odyssey, we learn about Odysseus and his long journey home. But once he finally reaches home, his problems aren't over. Instead, he finds his household in disarray, and it's up to him to set it right. I mean, it's kind of like coming home from a vacation just to realize someone else is now living in your house. They've rearranged your furniture. They've moved the kitchen. Well, today in our passage, Luke tells us the story of Jesus' return home. And he wants us to consider what happens when Jesus comes home. Now, what do I mean he comes home? Well, Luke is very specific about this. He tells a unique story. In Luke 19, 45 through 48, what we just read, right after his triumphal entry, his first stop Jesus makes is to the temple. And the way Luke tells the story, this is the first time that Jesus has been to the temple since he was a 12-year-old boy. Do you remember that story? Luke chapter 2, during a different Passover feast, Jesus' family travels to Jerusalem. And on the way back, Jesus can't be found because he was in the temple. He was in the temple listening to the teachers and asking them questions, and they were all amazed by his words, his answers. Well, after several days, his parents finally found him, and they asked, "Why would you do this to us?" Jesus' response, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" He was in his home. Luke begins and ends Jesus' life and ministry in his Father's house, the temple. But this time, when Jesus comes home, his Father's house is a mess. And in this passage, Jesus puts his house in order. Our scripture has two sections, and it begins first with a confrontation. A confrontation. Notice, there in 45, notice Jesus enters the temple and drives out those who were selling in the temple. He drives them out like he's driven out numerous demons and evil spirits before. Because he is going to drive out all who seek to distort the worship of God. Jesus will cast them out. But what's the problem going on? Why is he casting them out? What's the problem? Is it the whole sacrificial system? Is he finally upending it right now? Not really. Jesus isn't exactly objecting to the sacrifices. He's not even upset that much about the exchange of money in the temple. You see, in the temple, in order to worship God rightly through sacrifice, you had to have a spotless animal. Sheep, goats, birds, and such. But if you're traveling long distance, it was easy for an animal you might be bringing to get hurt and no longer acceptable for sacrifice. And so people would bring money and pay for these sacrificial animals as they entered into the temple. You see, in the temple, in order to worship God, you had to do it his way. You see, for Jesus, the problem isn't about trading money or selling animals. It's about how these sellers are treating the buyers and treating God's house as they do this, his Father's house. And Jesus helps us understand this issue by quoting two Old Testament verses here in verse 46. First, from Isaiah 56, 7, he says that God's house is to be a house of prayer, a house for the broken and the sinners, the outcasts, a place for those who love God, a place to come and commune with God, to know him and be known by him, and as we heard in Jeremiah, to be transformed by him. But these sellers are not using the temple as a house of prayer. They're using it in the wrong way. I mean, it's sort of like if you saw someone or when you've seen someone cleaning their feet in a drinking fountain. I mean, it's gross. It's profane. It's just the wrong way. Jesus then quotes from Jeremiah 7:11 to reveal this contrast. Instead of a house of prayer, they had made God's house a den of robbers. And I want you to get the full weight of this imagery borrowed from Jeremiah. They were, yes, you know, they were committing injustice. They were overcharging and robbing the people, forcing them to purchase animals and hindering Gentiles because they were in the court of the Gentiles. That's where they were doing the buying and selling. So in that way, they were hindering the Gentiles for coming to worship the Lord. But it's more than that. It's more than that. His concerns with the temple, his house, how they're treating it. You see, a den of robbers isn't the place where robbers go to rob. A den of robbers is the cave they retreat to escape justice. I mean, it's more like the cave in Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, or the hideout for Butch Cassidy or Jesse James. These men were committing injustices and sin, and then coming to the temple to declare their own deliverance, as we just heard in Jeremiah, their salvation. And then they would go out and sin again. They would use the temple as a way to feign righteousness while their lives were full of iniquity. For them, the temple was not a place of prayer or of worship or to be redeemed or transformed by the living God. It was a place to hide out until it was safe to sin again. A place to make everyone believe they were righteous while their own hearts were darkened. Friends, this should confront and challenge our own relationship with God's house as well. As we begin Holy Week, I encourage you to reflect on Jesus' confrontation. Let it confront our own worship in God's house. Is God's house a place of prayer or a place to hide out? Yes, it's a place to go to escape judgment, but not so that we may sin more, but to be transformed by the living God, to accept the sacrifice that Jesus makes on our behalf. Is God's house a place of humility or a place to build up yourself through religion? A place to be transformed by God's word or a place to look good so that you can continue in secret sin? Jesus confronts the worship of God's house both then and now, and he puts his house in order, clearing out all that detracts from right worship. But you see, God doesn't leave it empty. He cleans house so that the people of God might know the word of God. And this confrontation naturally leads to the second part, which is restoration in verses 47 and 48. After Jesus drives out the sellers, then in verse 47, he replaces them with his teaching. Here we learn Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. Jesus is orienting the temple back to its true significance as the place of God's word, like it was when he was a boy at 12 years old, where good news for the poor is declared, where God's rescue is proclaimed, where the people are being prepared to understand Jesus' coming sacrificial death. But this restoration creates a division, doesn't it? On the one side, there is intense opposition by the chief priests, the scribes and the leaders of the city. In verse 47, we learn they're looking for ways to destroy Jesus. And over the next couple days in our readings, we will learn how they continue to confront him, to try and trap him, to try and trip him up. But for now, they can't do anything, because the people are hanging on his every word, clinging to his every word. The way Luke paints the picture, he says all the people, crowds, as though it's the whole city gathered. People can't get enough of his words. Isn't that true? Like balm to the soul, they cling to his words as though in them true life can be found. For they are, of course, the very words of God in the house of God. God's house, a place of word and prayer, foundational for the people of God, that they might be built up and glorify the Lord. So really, the final question for us is, which group are you in? Do you resent Jesus and his challenge to worship? Do you treat God's house as a place to puff up yourself hide your sin, even take advantage of others? Or do you see God's house as a place of word and prayer? This week, as we walk towards the cross with Christ, will you choose to cling to Jesus' words? Will you respond to God in prayer? Will you pursue His ways or your own? Will you allow this Word of God to go deep in you and transform you from the inside out? That His house might not be a den of robbers, but it might be a place to come and be washed clean by the blood of Christ. Jesus challenges our worship so that we might cling to His Word. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, as we begin this holy week of meditations and singing and just reflecting on your word, we do pray that your words would pierce our heart and our mind, that they would teach us something of who you are, but more than that, that we would in our very soul come to know God and be known by Him. So Lord, even this day, may your word build us up, keep us going, help us to reflect on our own lives and on the ways in which you are working in this world to redeem and restore. Father, by your Spirit, we know and we trust that you are at work. And so we ask you to come and do a good work in us. In Christ's name, amen.